Sam's going to be here.
Go ahead and start with that.
Yeah, let me go ahead and get started on it. You folks would take your seats. We're just about ready to begin. Take your seats, please. City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 285, accept the report, A City for All of Us, More Voices, Better Solutions, which includes the five-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland.
I'm very happy to introduce the first item for this afternoon, the presentation called A City for All of Us, More Voices, Better Solutions, which includes the five-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland. This project was initiated at my office as part of the Bureau Innovation Project number 8. Ownership was effectively transferred to the community, and I'm proud to say that the final product far exceeded my expectations. I'd like to say thanks first and foremost to the Community Connect Work Group and Executive Committee, who dedicated countless hours over an exhaustive assessment and recommendation process. Also, I'd like to say thanks to the Advisory Committee, the many grantees, the almost 2,000 Portlanders who contributed input and feedback. Additional thanks to Community Connect staff person Sanjeev Balaji for his tireless work during this report. Also, the consulting team of Chris Smock and Dana Brown for bringing the team across the finish line. Finally, thanks to Liesl Wendt and a former member of my staff, Elizabeth Kennedy Wong, for their leadership and direction. The plan has three goals. First, increase the number and diversity of people involved in their communities. Second, strengthen community capacity. Third, increase community impact on public decisions. I believe that this plan will help us achieve stronger communities, better connected communities and neighborhoods, and a more responsive local government. The plan also has support from all seven neighborhood district coalition offices, civic organizations like the League of Women Voters and Elders in Action, culturally specific organizations like Naya Family Center, and a diverse array of individual stakeholders. I'd now like to bring up the first three presenters.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for your time. We spent a lot of, as the Mayor said, a lot of time and put a lot of effort, a lot of investment into working in this project. Learned many things. One of those things is about the nature of community and what that word means. It means many things to many people, but I think one of those meanings could be celebration. I think community can be a celebration, and that's the spirit that we'd like to move forward with today. As evidence of that tremendous investment, I'm sure you've received your packets. We have, at last count, 134 letters of support, including 12 from specific organizations. Those support letters are still pouring in, and I expect to have quite a few more before all is said and done. But in the spirit of a celebration, I'd like to start the presentation with a brief, slightly light moment, but a very significant moment as well. In dealing with very big issues, complicated issues, sensitive issues, we struggled at times to stay grounded and keep on track with the work that we wanted to do, and often depended on metaphors to help keep us there. And you'll hear us talk a little bit about a three-legged stool of community involvement today, which obviously symbolizes balance. And we used a number of other metaphors from ships charting the river, to a big wheel with a flat spot on the tire. Most of these aren't going to make sense in the context of this meeting, But I did want to start off with a metaphorical graphic representation to kind of put a picture in all of our minds of where we're going with this. Initially, Community Connect wants to increase community involvement. That's both diversity and numbers as far as involvement in community. We can symbolize this by people sprouting up on our land masses here, as well as the boundaries expanding. But increased involvement is not enough. We have to move forward and build and bridge between communities. We really want to link people together and start to create a more comprehensive involvement picture, as we can see with these nice bridges connecting land masses. But third, and maybe most important, we also want to think about having positive impact on public decision-making. We can have a very well-engaged community, which we certainly do, and aspire to even higher levels of engagement. But we need to make sure that all of that comes down here to City Hall and is well heard, too. So we look at another series of bridges to finish the unifying effort that we look forward to in this five-year plan. Again, I'd like to thank you for your time. Today we'd just like to share the report and the plan with you and hopefully get acceptance of that report. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Cece Hughley-Noel.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Cece Hughley-Noel. I'm the Chair of Community Connect. I also have the privilege of serving as the Executive Director for Southeast Uplift Neighborhood Coalition, and I'm also a resident of the Portsmouth neighborhood. I want to tell you a little bit about Community Connect's process before we go into community testimony. The five-year plan that you're going to look at today and hopefully will accept this report from the community is the generation of a process called Community Connect that the mayor referred to. Community Connect's charge was to increase community involvement in the city of Portland, specifically to strengthen involvement in Portland's communities, create a welcoming environment for public participation, and reinvigorate the partnerships between Portlanders and city government. We're so pleased to bring this forward today because we really believe that this process has been a community-led process. It has a lot of validation from numerous and diverse stakeholders, and we're really excited about bringing this forward to you. We really believe that it really exemplifies Portland's values. So what was that process? A work group of volunteers led this comprehensive and strategic process. The work group members represented the neighborhood system, diverse communities, nonprofit organizations, and also city bureau staff. Our process to develop the five-year plan that you have before you today started with an extensive community outreach process. Nearly 1,400 Portlanders were interviewed or surveyed about in the initial round of outreach, asking them questions such as, why don't you participate, and what would it take for you to participate? From that research, we also reviewed some of the current practices that involve Portlanders in the city. We looked at a national search for best practices around the country for other municipalities that were initiating community engagement processes. And we also interviewed city employees, bureau directors, and some of you last year. Overall, 19 different sources contributed to Community Connect's research. So what did we do with all of that? We had these 19 data sources, well over 1,000 specific recommendations and ideas that we had to sort through. We again engaged the community in helping us analyze that. Participants carefully pored through this research, identifying the areas that were the most often repeated or fit Portland's opportunities and challenges. Actionable recommendations were drafted to promote these ideas into implementable strategies. After the data was analyzed, another round of community outreach was conducted. The community was asked to give feedback on the recommendations that were developed through multiple opportunities, including two connection cafes and surveys. An advisory council of community leaders was convened to give input as well. And then the recommendations were further refined and an implementation plan was detailed. 3/4 of community members who responded through this process were fully supporting the draft plan. Finally, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's Bureau Advisory Committee, which this year Amalia will tell you about, was very inclusive and diverse, looked at funding for the first year of the implementation plan. And it is will be coming forward to you in our fiscal year 08-09 ask to the mayor. But of course, we had a lot of help with this. The mayor alluded to our exemplary consultant team, Chris Smock and Dana Brown. Chris Smock really helped us to really solidify and understand what the recommendations would mean. Chris joined us last year. She's the author of Democracy in Action. We were very privileged to have her help us sort through all of that information, and she guided us through this complex process. I'd like to introduce Chris right now. She's going to share some more details with you about how we got to where we are today.
Thanks. So Portland has earned a national reputation for its commitment to community involvement, particularly its neighborhood association system. But over 30 years have passed since the system was first developed, and it is struggling to meet the challenges of our 21st century city. As Portland grows and becomes increasingly diverse, how can we make sure that all Portlanders have a voice in how our city moves forward? To answer this question, as Cease mentioned, we talked to 2,000 Portlanders from all walks of life about what they would like to see in a community involvement system. Here's what we heard. We heard that neighborhood associations play an important role in building community and advocating for necessary services, but they also struggle with limited capacity, inadequate resources, and declining membership. And neighborhood leaders are frustrated by a decline in their impact on public decision-making. Meanwhile, many Portlanders say they don't feel welcome at their neighborhood association or the neighborhood association doesn't represent their interests. Others face barriers to participation, such as lack of time, language barriers, accessibility issues, and lack of childcare. Many of the city's diverse populations don't necessarily define their community in terms of their neighborhood. Instead, they tend to identify with communities based on their race, ethnicity, faith, or other social identities. So as a result of all of these trends, a growing number of Portlanders belong to groups which are underrepresented in civic affairs. And these groups feel shut out. And like the neighborhood association leaders, they worry that their voices aren't being heard in city government. But while participation in neighborhood associations has declined, we also found that many Portlanders care about their communities and are interested in becoming better connected. They want the skills and resources to solve local community problems and become effective participants in the public decision-making process. And they want to build bridges and foster collaboration among our city's many communities, neighborhoods, and organizations. To update Portland's community involvement system for the 21st century, we need to first strengthen neighborhood associations by providing them with the resources and support to be effective. We need to more effectively engage underrepresented groups by supporting leadership development and organizing. We need to provide local organizations and city agencies with the tools and resources to more effectively reach out and build bridges with all communities. And we need to implement deliberate strategies to make sure that all Portlanders have the opportunity to be heard. The five-year plan gives Portland an opportunity to renew its commitment to community involvement by providing tools and strategies that will reinvigorate civic life in our 21st century city.
So as you know, the mayor alluded to the three goals that are part of the five-year plan. Those three goals, again, are what we refer to colloquially amongst the group as the three-legged stool, are foundational to provide balance and sustainability in a well-supported system that really meets the needs of the community. Those three goals, again, are to increase the number and diversity of people who are involved in their communities. That's goal number one. Goal two is to strengthen community capacity. And goal three is to increase the community impact on public decisions. We have three community members that are going to speak in a little bit more detail about these three goals at this time, and then we'll come back to wrap up and take any questions that you have. So we're going to step back. I'm sorry, I suppose I should introduce them. We have Casey Jama, who is the director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. We have Linda Nedekoven, who is a neighborhood leader from the Hosford Abernathy neighborhood. And we have Gil Kelly, who is the director of the Bureau of Planning. Thanks.
Welcome, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Good morning and good afternoon, Mayor and the commissioners. My name is Casey Chama. I am the executive director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. It's my pleasure here today to participate in this presentation, as I am very familiar with the work that this project, Community Connect, has been involved for the past few years. In fact, many of our community has been having the same issues and same conversation is that this project has been tackling with. I'm going to talk about first the goal one, which has three recommendations. The first recommendation that the goal under the goal one that CIS has outlined is to increase the power and the voice of the underrepresented groups, particularly those of immigrant and refugee organizations. It's very important to highlight some of the important work that has been developed already under this recommendation. Two projects has been already developed under the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Those two projects are the Diversity and the Civic Leadership Academy, which three grassroots organizations representing the community of color are collaborating, the Latino Network, Oregon Action, and the Center for Intercultural Organizing. Under this project, there are already 45 leaders who are currently participating and already involved their community. The second project is the Diversity and Civic Leadership Organizing Project, which is four organizations are already collaborating, NAYA, Urban League, IRCO, and Latino Network. It's also, we also recognize that to provide a formal access, provide a formal access to the city government. Under this recommendation, meaning create a seat at the table. For organizations that are representing people of color and the immigrant refugees, let's remember this is not a creating two parallel structure, but rather complement the current structure while providing support for the underrepresented community and creating inclusive system that represented Portland. Recommendation two, engage full diversity of our community by addressing common barriers to participation. Under this recommendation, we are proposing that to make meetings and events more welcoming and accessible by using more inclusive methods of dialogue and decision-making process. This will enable underrepresented groups to share their own unique ways of community building and culturally appropriate decision-making methodology. For example, many of our Diversity Leadership Academy participants currently we use culturally appropriate methodologies such as creating, developing a popular education models. Two, overcome logistical barriers such as childcare, language interpretation, and meeting times. Many of the underrepresented community has expressed the barriers that they face public participation. And we recognize that creating this type of logistical, tackling those types of logistical issues will increase diverse representation of the Portland community members. Recommendation three, promote effective communication to keep the community informed by issues, opportunities for involvement, and more inclusive ways of participation. We think that developing tools of communication and marketing strategies that are effective and culturally appropriate will increase the participation of the underrepresented community. We also recognize the need and to promote culturally appropriate direct outreach communication in order to reach diverse Portlanders. I want to emphasize these three recommendations under these goals is again to increase Portland's diverse community participation and decision-making process in this city. Friend of mine, Paul Leisner, and I was just yesterday in Dayton, Ohio, and we were just talking about this project. And some of the other cities and the community members who were participating in those meetings, one thing that they all said when we talked about this project was, that is Portland. So let's keep Portland's spirit alive. Thank you.
Good
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and City Commissioners. My name is Linda Nedekoven, and I've been a member of the working group for this project since the beginning. For the next few minutes, I'd like to focus on goal number 2 of the plan. And this goal looks at how we strengthen community capacity for involvement. And this phrase speaks to helping community members become more capable, skillful, and competent at working with their fellow residents, with you as elected officials, and with city staff to ensure our city is the very best that it can be. We want to set people up for success. Political scientists would tell us that historically it's usually the well-off, the well-connected, and the well-educated who have the most likelihood of influencing city government. And I think historians would agree that that's been the case here in Portland. We made a major shift in 1974 when the city granted a set of rights and responsibilities to neighborhood associations and provided some new ways to access city decision making. But as Chris Mock indicated, this is a brand new century, and it's past time to move our systems for community involvement to a whole new level. Goal 2 includes 3 objectives and 11 strategies for doing just that. First, we want to work informally to foster social ties and a sense of community identity by doing things like bringing residents together via community gatherings, multicultural events, by providing welcome kits to new residents. That's a natural way for business associations and neighborhoods to work together to highlight the community's assets. By encouraging face-to-face relationship building so we better understand each other's cultures and backgrounds. By publicizing neighborhood identities and assets and creating physical spaces and design features that give neighborhoods and areas of the city their special character. Secondly, we want to strengthen the community's capacity to take action to move its own priorities forward. And this involves citywide leadership training. We've heard some good words from Casey about the Diversity and Civic Leadership Institute. Trainees already being involved, other people waiting in line for this kind of opportunity. We want to create even better technical assistance programs. We want to continue the new process of providing small grants to community groups. Another way to help neighborhood associations and other community groups work together in partnership. We want to offer targeted staff support to communities that are experiencing a high degree of development pressure or facing other major changes. We want to provide a central clearinghouse for best practices so that we can continuously learn from each other. And we want to make certain that the resources and support are distributed in an equitable manner across neighborhoods and across the city. The third objective speaks to, I think, the concern some people have about doing things in a balkanized fashion, but we're all about fostering networking and collaboration among neighborhoods and business associations, other local organizations, and interest groups. We want to promote opportunities for citywide gatherings that allow people to come together. We want to reinforce the role that coalitions already play as conveners of diverse groups of stakeholders trying to grapple with complicated problems. We want to promote collaboration between organizations via formal partnerships, as well as issue or project-based efforts. For example, using our neighborhood grants program to reward people who come in with partnership kinds of proposals. And I don't want to say most important, but another key, something that we're exploring that we haven't done much of before, is to bring together different communities and interests to build shared understanding, using study circles and listening sessions, fostering local and citywide dialogues on controversial and divisive issues. And we have a great example of that already happening in North Portland with the restorative listening circles on gentrification. If we are effective at engaging people via the outreach strategies that Casey has described, but they don't know what to do once they show up, we do them a great disservice. And if we are successful in letting people know when and where to be involved, but they don't understand the structure, the timing, or the implications of the choices or the decisions they're faced with, then we've raised expectations that can't be met, or worse, set people up for failure. That leads to the kind of cynicism we often see now, where people don't get involved because they don't think they can make a difference anyway. The recommendations under this goal provide the antidote for that cynicism by highlighting ways to help people develop the skills, knowledge, build relationships, along with creating a sense of identity and connectedness that they need to involve themselves effectively with their government and their fellow citizens. That's why this goal is so very important. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Gil Kelly, Director of Planning. I, first of all, want to speak on behalf of the Planning and Development Directors in the city, as you know. a group of 10 of us who represent the major bureaus and meet every other week to help with the management and administration of the city's functions. We received a draft of this report and a presentation from the people involved about 3 months ago, and we're very impressed. We could all see how we could all benefit from its recommendations. We made a number of suggestions, all of which were incorporated. So we met again and have offered you a letter of our support for the five-year plan. We recommend it highly. I was going to be joined today by my colleague, Zeri Santner from Portland Parks and Recreation. She couldn't make it this afternoon, wanted to talk about some of her experience and aspirations in this regard for Portland Parks. I won't pretend to speak for her, but I will say that I have offered you my own memo of support, and particularly talking about the relevance and timeliness of this for the Portland plan process, which, as you know, is all just beginning now. We're beginning to engage the community. And we have engaged the community through a number of traditional routes in the last two or three months, including coalitions, neighborhood associations, business groups, well-organized interest groups of a variety of kind. What this points us to is really broadening that pool of engagement to a whole set of people who otherwise are not engaged, and that's just indispensable for us. We think that's just plain good government, and we think it is the way to build a new civic leadership in this community, which we're going to need, because this plan is really for the next 30 years of Portland. And as we grow and change, being able to cultivate leadership and participation in the most broad way across the community can only be of help to us in formulating good guidelines for the growth and change of Portland. So we're very, very supportive of this effort. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Yes, you are next. I want to say, I just want to remind the council that, you know, this Colin referred to this as a celebration, and I get the honor to say that really this process has been comprehensive. It's been very strategic. It's also been sort of personally transformative for all the people who have participated. What we're asking you to do today, again, is to accept the report from the community. But there is a tie to that, and Amalia is going to share with us a little bit about the first year's implementation and what the budget process was like.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Amalia Alarcón de Morris. I'm the director of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And over the last couple of years, while Community Connect has been in process, ONI has benefited in that as we went along and built relationships with some of the folks that have been involved in the Community Connect process, we had invited them to join our budget committee or asked for input or feedback throughout the budget process, and have slowly been implementing changes that actually align us perfectly to take on the year one strategies of the five-year plan to increase community involvement. So this year's, you've heard mentioned some already, that this year's ONI budget work group was the largest and most diverse that we have had since certainly I've been in this position. The group consisted of 48 participants with representatives from district coalitions, neighborhood associations, our diversity and civic leadership initiatives, including some of the participants in some of those leadership development programs for whom this was the first their first encounter with policy making or budget developing bodies at the city, as well as our Portland Citizens Disability Advisory Committee. So we went to task on the budget with a very short timeline this year, and with a very big task on our plate, which was to look at year one strategies and figure out how to use those as a framework for the ONI budget request for 08-09. There were a lot of competing, perhaps could be viewed as competing interests at the table, equally important interests at the table from various sides of this three-legged stool that you've heard about. And we were told that based on the financial forecast for the city, there wasn't a lot of money that was going to be ongoing that would be approved, and therefore we needed to be really prudent in what we put forward as a request for ongoing dollars. We had two specific projects that were on the table for consideration for our requested budget as ongoing dollars. One was the staffing for our district coalitions. Each coalition got a staff person last year or funds to supplement their staffing with one-time dollars last year. We also had on the table our diversity and civic leadership organizing project, which funds, currently funds ERCO, NEA, the Urban League, and the Latino Network with Verde Northwest to do organizing in their communities around civic engagement. Both very important pieces, and if you look at the integration of any system as a two-way street, both crucial to the success of the five-year plan. We had some very heated debates. We had some very impassioned discussions about which project we would be putting forward unanimously, because that was very important to us, as a request for ongoing dollars. And after much soul searching and many difficult conversations, the directors of the coalitions approached the BAC, the Bureau Advisory Committee Budget Work Group, with a request that the organizing project be the group that we went forward to and advocated for ongoing dollars this year, deciding that even though none of us have enough money to meet the demand, that our partners in the Diversity and Civic Leadership Initiative have even less, and therefore that was a critical enough relationship that everyone felt was important to highlight this year. So we went to the final Budget Advisory Committee meeting, and everybody unanimously voted to support the budget as we put it forward, with the directors kicking it off. So at this point, our 08-09 budget proposes to strengthen community through our Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy, through the Diversity and Civic Leadership Organizing Project, and to provide added support to our Disability Advisory Committee for their work. We propose to strengthen neighborhoods and coalitions through resources, providing resources for communications, providing resources for increased outreach, continuing the Neighborhood Grants Project, and providing leadership development training. We propose to strengthen cities' capacity to respond to increased interest from community through the institution of the Public Involvement Advisory Council, which you will hear about more a little bit later. And then finally, we propose to bridge the groups through our Fund for Accessible Neighborhoods, our Community Engagement Initiative dollars, and through the Restorative Listening Project, which right now is in the form of the Gentrification Listening Circles, and we're actually looking at a new project called What's Race Got to Do With It and its implementation. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Cease.
I just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. We've been very excited about this project, and it really does support what we believe are the community's priorities and its values, and we're really, really happy to do this. We believe that our recommendations really provide some critical infrastructure to bridge the perceived divisions between communities and providing a unified human infrastructure that is sustainable and strengthens the democratic process that supports our highest community values. We have a whole new set of communities and families that have moved in to the city. We have new, emerging, brand new neighborhoods that have risen up from scratch. And we really believe that these strategies for the 21st century will support all of that diversity and really move us forward into a really engaged, proactive, effective, and collaborative community. So, what will be different if you guys accept the five-year plans report? We strongly believe that city agencies, neighborhood associations, community-based organizations, business district associations will involve more people, and the people that will be involved will be coming from diverse communities, and that will add to the context and good decisions. We believe that Portlanders from our increasingly diverse population will be more involved in civic affairs, and we believe that city agencies, neighborhood associations, and community organizations will be more effective and will make better decisions for better solutions. We would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have about the process at this time, or we could wait until you hear community testimony.
I guess, just one question. Going back to Amalia's, I'm looking at the Phase 1 implementation plan, and you're saying you're unanimously behind number 2, which is expand and make permanent diversity and civic leadership pilot projects, $268,000?
Okay, correct. Yes.
Okay, so make sure I got that one.
Yes.
Thanks.
Anything else at this time? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
How many folks have signed up to testify?
We have 26 people.
26 people?
Yes.
Okay, in the interest of hearing as many people as possible, because we have three other issues on our council, please keep your comments to 2 minutes. Please call the first three.
First three are Noni Kazi, Ross Mon, and Marcus Mundy. And they'll be followed by Pat Osborne, Jeff Boley, and Doretta Schrock.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Marcus Mundy. I'm with the Urban League of Portland. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Good to see everybody on my council. The Urban League is full of hope and optimism for the opportunity to work with the city as it builds a better Portland, a city where all are welcomed. We at the Urban League want to thank everybody involved with this problem, with this process, from the government to the people on Community Connect to the people throughout the community. It's up to us to make this noble innovation succeed. To that end, we have met with countless other civic organizations ourselves. We were one of the recipients of the organizing project funds, and we have already in the first quarter met with people we would not have met with, and we've created partnerships and collaborations that will stand us in good stead for many, many, many months to come. We are aggressively committed to starting a grassroots campaign that will reach the underserved and diverse populations of Oregon. We are creating forums and seminars even as we speak. In fact, I invite everybody to come to the first mayoral forum that we're having on March 14th, which is in part because of this project right now. There's a palpable excitement about this project and about the attention of the people in the city, and we're glad to be part of that. We encourage the city to continue its brilliant vision with funding and support at every level of this project. Thank you. Oh, and I will leave. Here's 40 more of the attestations for this project that we gathered at the Urban League as part of our project. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I've never testified before, and I'm here as a concerned citizen. I've lived in the inner northeast area for the last 50 years of my life in the same house. Grew up there, played there, went to school there, all of that. And to see our neighborhood change has been a very challenging thing. And I got a flyer one day, and it was to go. I was graduating recently from school, and I had to do a paper on gentrification in my neighborhood. And it was one of the hardest things that I had ever had to do in my life. And in the meantime, I got a flyer in the mail about a restorative listening project that was going on. And I thought it would add some interest to my paper, and so I went. When I was done there, it made so much sense to me. Gentrification at that point was not a negative thing. It was where we came together as a community and people listened. They listened to the hurt and to the harm and to the history of what had happened to the Northeast community. And there was dialogue there. And it was just something that, you know, I've been to several neighborhood meetings, association meetings. I haven't felt comfortable. People say, this is our neighborhood, and they've been there 4 years. Well, you try living in the same house 50 years, and you can say that's your neighborhood. And I know things are changing, and I like us to change together. And with this 25 seconds left, the one thing that I would love to see is this restorative listening project to continue, but in a broader sense, to bring out more people. I look at me at my age, but what about my 79-year-old mother who won't come out the house? How do we bring it to them? And how do they get to tell their stories and we get to meet our neighbors? Instead of 7-foot fences that go up, I like to see us come together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mayor and Commissioners, I'm Ross Mon, and I'm chair of Wilkes Community Group, which is the furthest northeast neighborhood in the city. And I'm here to ask you to support the 5-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland. And so I'll just tell you a little bit about what we've been getting in the last 2 years that's changed with the new resources. For Wilkes, for instance, my neighborhood association has received two small grants for $1,250 for the Wilkes Outdoor Holiday Display Contest, which has built a sense of community, has resulted in 8 people agreeing to volunteer, become active members, and engaged partnerships with businesses who have given donations for the projects. Wilkes and all East Portland Neighborhood Associations have benefited from the new communication funds by supporting the development and production of new marketing brochures and door hangers for outreach to neighbors to raise visibility about the 13 East Side neighborhoods. I brought those, they're in the backseat of my car to show you what they look like, but they're very good. Communication funds have also supported the development of the revamped and expanded East Neighborhood Association News, which you have now that Carla just passed out, that is mailed to approximately 15,000 people every other month. The funds gained professional design advice and new equipment to create a graphically well-designed and accessible newspaper that has received rave reviews. Other neighborhood coalitions are contacting us now to copy our format. The new funds for hiring additional coalition staff are focused on expanding our ability to reach new and diverse community members who we've not been able to reach before. We've hired the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, IRCO, to put on a series of cultural workshops to help raise awareness about how to make our neighborhood associations more welcoming. 20 neighborhood leaders came to the first workshop, which was this month, and we've also hired a coordinator, and we're going to put on a cultural fair July 12th next to the office in the Hydro Park. So, again, I ask you to support the 5-year plan, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Pat Osborne, Jeff Boley, and Doretta Schrock. They'll be followed by Chad Sewell, Larry Collins, and Susan Landauer.
Thanks for being here today, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
My name is Pat Osborne with the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League of Women Voters of Portland supports the 5-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland. As you may know, our league carried out extensive research in 2005 and 2006 on the city's neighborhood program. We produced several reports, including a history of the neighborhood program, a survey of neighborhood associations, and a lengthy report on how the neighborhood program works today. Our newly adopted position on the city's neighborhood program is that it's a worthy public investment for the civic engagement and the neighborhood livability that it achieves. But to meet its potential, all the pieces must be in place. And within the 5-year plan, we see the deliberate strategies to make the city's public involvement program work right. Attention is given to involving more people, to increasing the capacity of citizens and communities, and also to building in ways for the city to listen to the citizen voice. The League believes that real democracy depends on citizen interest and involvement in government. We encourage the city to adopt this well-crafted plan for what it will achieve for the city. If citizens are invited in to have a role and are involved in the front end of decision making, the city will be saving time, money, and will experience decision outcomes that are better for all parties. We encourage you to adopt this plan and to fund all the programs for its first year of implementation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Councilman. I'm Jeff Boley, President of the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association, and a member of the Executive Committee of the Neighbor West Northwest Coalition. The coalition represents over 40,000 people and 24,000 households. I urge you to support the 5-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland because it is a very good investment. Portland is nationally recognized, particularly by the New York Times, for the values that make this city so special. And there is good demographic evidence that Portland attracts new residents who share these values. One of the most important of these values is volunteerism. I believe that the 5 of you on the council are in a way Portland's ultimate volunteers, because your primary motivation for service to Portland is not, I suspect, your paychecks, but rather the opportunity to make this great city even better. One of the primary ways you improve our city is by the exercise of discretion regarding the allocation of resources. The five-year plan is an exercise of that discretion that shares a small part of your authority with the community volunteers that make project grants. This gives the city a great return on its investment because the community not only benefits from the projects themselves, but also from payback to the volunteers who have the satisfaction of implementing the improvements that are the most important to them. The projects are apt to be worthwhile because those closest to a situation are the best judge of local problems and how to solve them. The five-year plan enables you to reward existing volunteers and encourage new volunteers to join in enhancing Portland's already unequaled reputation for livability. Thank you.
My name is Doretta Schrock. I'm here representing North Portland Neighborhood Services, which operates as the District Coalition for My Neighborhood. North Portland Neighborhood Services strongly supports the five-year plan to increase community involvement. As co-chair of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement Budget Advisory Committee, I just finished putting more than 100 hours of blood, sweat, and tears, literally, I might say, into the ONI budget process. Before this year, I would have looked at you funny if you had told me I'd be really proud of the work of a budget committee. I'd have told you that budget committees do necessary but boring, grinded-out work. This year broke that mold. I'm not going to repeat the things you've already heard a billion times about what this is about, but just let me say that working out how to fairly fund all three legs of that stool that other people have talked to you about with very little new money was challenging, and a lot of us had to do a lot of stretching in the process. I think for the first time, many of us understood a little of what it means to be a person of color in Portland. People in groups who have never worked together before came together and worked very productively. Again, I want to encourage you. North Portland Neighborhood Services encourages you to support the fantastic work being done in our community by ratifying the five-year plan for community involvement and the ONI budget process. And I just want to add on a little bit more personal note, I shared the frustration, the obvious frustration that you all felt with how last year's process to rename a street after Cesar Chavez played out in the neighborhood. And for me, it went well beyond frustration to approach horror. I really believe that properly carried out, the five-year plan for community involvement will lay the foundation for a very different kind of dialogue in the community when similar issues arise in the future.
Thank you.
The next three are Chad Sewell, Larry Collins, and Susan Landauer. They'll be followed by Don Bach, Lily Mandel, and Irwin Mandel.
Good afternoon, folks. Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Well, afternoon. My name is Chad Sewell. I am representing myself as a citizen today. I was the Outreach and Engagement Steering Committee representative for Community Connect. I began that work when I was with Central City Concern with the Workforce One-Stop location, scenically located in Old Town on 2nd and Burnside there. The project provided me an opportunity to do something about the view of my world that I had as I looked out over the intersection of that neighborhood and saw that there were a lot of Portlanders that didn't have a voice. And so when presented with the opportunity to join and be part of the work group, I did jump on that. My interest was in trying to represent a voice for a group of people that often gets overlooked. We use the term underrepresented groups, and that leans towards the traditionally used divisions, typically around, you know, race and color and ethnics and stuff like that. And what I was hoping to do is kind of promote that there's a larger group. There's people that aren't connected to the community, that don't have a say, that are affected by the choices that are made around them. And from a social service perspective, when people are making decisions about services that need to be extended to a part of the community that's often overlooked, I felt it was important to get engaged. I support this plan primarily because it was the product is the result of a process that represented an integrity and the integrity was meant to support the voice of the community. We were required to be kind of stewards of the gray. We couldn't go into this with an agenda. We couldn't go into it with preconceived notions of what the outcome should be. But we had to go out to the community, collect their voice, honor their voice, and come back and represent it with the product. And that's why I'm here today, to support the five-year plan. Thank you.
My name is Larry Collins, and I never, ever thought I'd be in this position to be able to testify about the needs of the community. But I'm the CEO of People Purpose. Our motto there is Stop Pointing a Finger, Lend a Hand. And I'm also the new chairperson of Public Safety Action Committee in Northeast Coalition. But I'm here today to urge and adopt the number five, I believe, because there is a big need. I think it's time for the neighborhood to get more involved and adopt this plan. It allows us to regain our own ownership of our community by building better, stronger, more healthier, friendly communities. By doing the five-year plan, it allows us to build a more personal relationship with the city officials, the state, Portland Police Department, become better residents, and also it gives us a chance to give back and give everyone to be accept ownership of their own program. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and commissioners. My name is Susan Landauer, and I am very involved in the Portsmouth Neighborhood Association. Thank you very much for this opportunity to praise our North Portland Office of Neighborhood Involvement and to urge you to support the five-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland. I have been involved in my Portsmouth Neighborhood Association since I moved there in early 1996. First, organizing the neighborhood tree plantings every year, then building the play structure in Columbia Park, then having an artist use children's artwork to make banners that still hang on Lombard. Then we built a reader board for Portsmouth School. We have done project after project. It would take a long time to tell them all. We have been busy. North Portland Neighborhood Services has offered invaluable technical support every inch of the way. Money for communications has really helped. I look forward to involving more neighbors who need childcare and interpretation assistance to participate. Portland can be proud of our lively system of neighborhood associations. Thank you for fully funding the five-year plan to increase community involvement in Portland. Thank you.
Next three are Don Bach, Lily Mandel, and Erwin Mandel. They'll be followed by Eric Gale, Catherine King, and Tom Weiss.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm Don Bach, Hillsdale. I support this plan. I support the five-year funding, and I urge you to continue it. I want to focus on a few things that are somewhat details, but I think they're important. There's a note to expand the small groups, the small grants program. I think that's important. I think that's really enlivened a lot of people. But I'd like to propose an audit process where each coalition audits what we've done. We've had two rounds of this. They ought to be able to learn something, the good, the bad, the indifferent in these for themselves. And then I'd like to suggest just the auditor's office do a sampling and then meet with the coalitions together to talk about the auditor's perception of this versus the coalitions. I think that cross-fertilization could be very interesting. Then I want to move on to talking about making information available and posted online. That sounds great, but if you've really tried to work with a city site, it is an absolute nightmare. And I think you'd be offering people an absolute frustration. And so here's a couple thoughts I have. When I was in Curitiba, Brazil recently, there they had some kiosks in. They decentralized their city services to some degree. So each of these areas where they had city services decentralized, they had a kiosk. Well, you know, I'm not sure that that's the best thing to do. We, you know, it takes a hell of a lot of change to make decentralize our services. But maybe in each elementary school, each library, we could put up a city kiosk that's focused on that area right where the people are in that, you know, the coalition. And then to start out by looking at a map. Not, you guys' faces are great on those on the website, but start out with a map and you click on the site you are in the city, and then you can look and see what's going on in your area, and you can get down to the neighborhood, or you get down to even look further down if you wish. I really do support some of these other proposals. Other one is, as we try to make things work in our neighborhoods, getting some internship support, maybe high school kids, is a way of teaching them what we're about, but also support things where we can work with them in such a way, but not to where we take so much time to get them into the harness that we don't get any benefit out of it. It's got to be a two-way street. Anyway, I just think some creative ways of doing it. And I really want to emphasize, you know, there's a book called White Man's Burden, but there's a big difference between planners, the people from the top down telling us what to do, and the searchers. And the thing that this book really said, this is really the good, bad, and indifferent of our foreign aid of the U.S., but the searchers really had good economical solutions to their problems around the world because of the way they put things together, because it was the local words getting in there. And we can do the same thing as city government. Thank you.
Lily Mandel, I speak to you here as an old immigrant and refugee in a very, very diverse city, New York City. And forget about money, 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 and budget, spending lots of money. There's a very, very simple answer. The answer is that you have to learn English. The first thing my parents did, they worked all day, we came here penniless, went to school to learn English. If you can't speak English, you can't connect with anyone. You can't have a voice. To have interpreters, that doesn't do it at all. You don't really get yourself across. So this, all these five-year plans, 10-year plans, and whatever, save all of this. The important thing for us to be able to understand each other is to speak to each other, and you can't do that. Why? You're going round and round in circle, not through somebody else interpreting you. This is the answer, and my parents were so proud. We were never allowed to speak any other language in our home, only English. And they then went to school to learn about the culture, and when they became citizens, it was the happiest day in their lives. And we become part of Portland. We become Portlanders. And all these other ways to spend institutions and other ways to spend money are all a lot of nonsense. Thank you.
Erwin Mandel, I'm not here to inveigh against citizen involvement, far be it. Came to the city about 15 years ago. It didn't take very long to get involved with what was going on, both on committees, commissions, also with the Neighborhood Association, land use, and then as chair. A couple of commissioners up here were chiefs of staff at the time I first started testifying before city council. The issue is I took a look with my handy-dandy little calculator at the amount of money involved. And let's follow the headings there. Currently in place, fiscal year 07-08, $3,049,000 odd. 08-09 budget request is close to $3,400,000. We have a category, what else is needed, and I've assumed only a 25% increase when expansion is suggested, and Commissioner Sten's request is still out. Assuming what was there, we're up to about $4.5 million for what else is needed. Now, in today's Metro Oregonian, there was a fine little article summarizing how this city is falling apart. Human infrastructure is very important, but so is our built infrastructure. We will continue making the New York Times as a great city when we start literally falling apart mechanically. There is $112 million short on needed repairs, according to the Oregonian. Of course, Commissioner Adams has been trying to get our potholes and streets repaired for God knows how long, and he doesn't seem to be able to get the money to do that. There were 13 projects immediately listed. None deal with our badly deteriorating streets, and they came up to $1.9 million. You know, there's an old Charlie Wilson, if anybody remembers that far back, was head of General Motors, who made the comment, you know, a million here, a million there, and before you know it, you're talking about real money. Thank you.
Next we are Eric Gale, Catherine King, and Tom Weiss. They'll be followed by Nancy Hand, Vicky Herson, and Polo Catalani.
Thanks for being here, folks.